Pastor Lauer from our Seder Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at this same time. Our Seder's is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. That's just across the street from Franklin Elementary. During these times of pandemic, our regular services are indoors at 8 and 10:30 a.m. We also have a parking lot service at 9:15. Please join us for Christian worship, education, fellowship, and service. Today we heard our Lord Jesus speak this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, "Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." But they paid no attention and went off. One to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, "How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen." This is the gospel of the Lord. This parable which Jesus told is a scary one. In fact, it ought to be very scary when you look at what happened first to those who ignored the king's gracious invitation, and then to the one who was thrown out for being unworthy. Telling this parable to the leaders of the Jews would be telling them that they were no longer going to be God's chosen people. God would no longer watch over them, protect them, or bless them. Just the opposite, actually. They were going to be destroyed and killed for having refused God's love and favor in preference for what they had prepared for themselves and other priorities. At first glance, it looks like the easy application of this parable for our time is to say that it is directed at those who aren't coming to church. We could say that every Sunday is the king's feast, and we could rail against those who choose to do other things, attending to their own business instead of attending to the Lord's business, and doing things according to the policies that they've set for themselves, rather than the priorities which God has ordained. We'd say, "See what happens when you don't go to church? Not only do you miss out on the Lord's gracious invitation, but you may find yourself killed and destroyed with the rest of the evil people in the world." But that is not the message here. Remember, Jesus is speaking to the leaders of the Israelites who were present in God's holy house. In fact, there wasn't much else that they did. They were even in the temple when Jesus told them this parable. So, it wasn't their attendance that Jesus was after. Certainly people ought to attend church according to God's command, but that's not what this parable is about. What this means is that we shouldn't feel so safe just because we gather in the Lord's house. As I said, it's not our attendance that Jesus is talking about in this parable. Rather, it's about what we do when we do go into the Lord's house. Or even better, it's about our attitude toward God, whether we go there or somewhere else. In fact, it was against this idea that hanging out in the temple is what God was looking for that Jesus was speaking against. Let me put this another way. We tell children and young people they need to go to school in order to have a better future for themselves. But what are we really saying? Are we saying that just by going into the school building that they will ensure their future? Of course not. When we say go to school, what we really mean is take advantage of this opportunity to learn something. It is not putting in your time in a school building which will help you improve your future. It's what goes on in that school which is important. There are even some students who never go into a school building at all, and yet they are getting a good education, maybe at home or online or even at the public library. What we're after is not their attendance, but their learning. So it is with Jesus and his influence in your life. It is a mistake to think that hanging around the church building and busying yourselves with all kinds of churchy things is what's important. That's what the people Jesus is trying to correct were doing. Instead, you should be asking yourself, why am I here? What's this all about? You can go to church every week and still miss out on what's going on around you. Yes, you should go. But don't think that's all that our Lord is intending for you. I hear it all the time. People say, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. By the way they say it, you'd think that it must be some chore or some meaningless ritual that God has invited us to. Kids say, my parents make me go to church. And I think to myself, really? Do you think God and your parents just want to pull your strings and make you do something meaningless? What do you think goes on here? What we should notice in this parable that Jesus told is that the king has invited the people to a banquet. It was a feast in honor of his son's wedding. The king was blowing his fortune on this thing. They were not being invited to a meeting or to a work day at the palace where they'd be expected to clean and paint the king's house. The king was not calling them to pay their taxes or mustering an army for war. It was his gift to them in honor of his love for his son. But the leaders of the Jews and the leaders of the temple and the teachers of the people had turned God's house into a place for business. They had made it into a place where people dreaded to go, because they would be required to lay down their cash, to bow to their leaders, to obey all the rules. Going to the temple was no longer about coming into the gracious, loving presence of God to receive his gifts and celebrate his loving kindness. Instead, they had made it into a fearsome exercise in obedience and boredom and dread. Do I really have to go? By doing this, the leaders of the people had turned God's people away from him, and they were causing people to miss out on the feast of his grace and his love and his blessings that he had prepared for his people. This ought to seriously scare those of us who, like the leaders of the Israelites at the time of Jesus, are responsible for determining what goes on in our churches and the message we send about God's purpose. Are people turning away from God and missing out on the love and blessings of God which he has prepared for them because we're more concerned about the business of the church than about the purpose of the church? Our Lord's business is about freeing people from sin, death, and damnation. It's about showing God's love and his grace and the joy of his salvation. Our God has given everything he has to prepare you for this celebration of his blessings in honor of the love that he has for his son. I'm all for pomp and circumstance when coming into the presence of God, our heavenly King. I'll be the first to say that we should do everything decently and in order so that we're all working together and making sure that God's instructions are being followed. But when the rules and the ritual become more important than the love which God has for his people and his desire to share his feast with them, well, then we've missed the point altogether, and we've actually become a hindrance to God, so that he will need to get us out of the way so that others can come in. Today and every time we gather in his name, the Lord God has prepared for you a feast of all his greatest gifts. He invites us to come into his presence, to be fed upon his richest blessings, to experience his love for our daily lives, and to gain a bond of peace and fellowship between us. Do you have questions for God? He delivers his answers here through his very own word. Are you weighed down by the concerns and troubles of the world? Here he invites you to lay them down while he teaches you how to handle them and promises to see you through them. This is your time out from work and drudgery, where you need not be concerned with what you must do, but see and hear and believe in what God has done for you. It's all for you on account of his love for Jesus Christ, his Son. But neither should we think that all of this wonder comes without a price. Yes, the king himself has paid that price, so it's not a price that you have to pay. But the full price for this whole thing is paid by Jesus Christ our Lord, who gave his all to make it possible. It is his love and his self-sacrifice which makes us worthy to be called the children of God. It was the same in the Old Testament, when the people of God had nothing special or distinctive about them except the word and promise of God himself. And now that God was fulfilling his promise through his Son, but they refused him. So now all the rest of God's people have been invited to receive all that God has to give in this celebration of his love for Jesus, his Son. But none of us should think that we are worthy or prepared to be the people of God unless we are covered with Christ. He is the wedding robe in the parable that makes us fit to be in the presence of the king. If this is still too much picture language, or if the meaning is still disguised, then let me say it plainly. God is not interested in making your life worse, or in telling you that you're not good enough for him. He is not interested in getting anything from you, or making you go through more hardships than you already have. It's really just the opposite. God is ready and willing and has provided all that is needed to have you back with him in paradise, to give you back the life that you should have had if we in this world had never been broken by sin. He invites you to receive every blessing and to celebrate the reunion of God and man on account of his Son. And don't think that you're not good enough or that you're not worthy of God's love and blessing. Jesus covers your sins and makes you beautiful to God again. He paid for it all. He provides the celebration and the blessings, as well as the invitation and the gifts, which are not your gifts to him, but his gifts to you. So don't think that God's house is a place of drudgery or judgment, but see it as a place of joy and freedom. Don't think of God's invitation as a summons to your death, but see it as his celebration of life, the life of his Son and the life of us all, which it is. And see that this is not something that God is twisting your arm to do, but a privilege and the answer to your prayers. The Father loves Jesus, his Son. Jesus loves us and invites us to share in the celebration of his life. Our celebration today is just the beginning of what is still to come. It is already wonderful, but that will be marvelous indeed. This is the feast. Come and see that the Lord is good. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to know more about our Saviors in Mankato, you can find us on the web at www.oslcmankato.org.